Our scripture lesson this morning is a very familiar story. We're reading it in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 in the New Revised Standard Version. That's the one in your pews. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars, for there were Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the chief steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh, dear God, you are still full of surprises for us. So take us to the party today and tell us, each of us, what we mostly need to hear from you. And somehow, oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Water. Did you have a glass of water this morning? Anybody? Did you turn on the tap to brush your teeth? Did you have a cup of tea or coffee? Have you raised your hand yet? Did you wash a dish? Take a shower or flush a toilet? Water. Water in Flint. Compromised by politics and poison pipes. Water in Detroit. Unregulated. Unwatched for a generation or more. And now, unaffordable for working class and for many, unavailable if your water is shut off. Water. Last week we celebrated the baptism of Jesus, the water that's a blessing. This week Jesus is at a wedding and something happened to the water. But there was water there, right? What water? Special water. Water for washing. Water for ceremonial cleanliness. Gallons and gallons of water in clean stone jars. Elaine and I have a plastic water jug for camping. It holds about 5 gallons, and it's pretty close to the limit of my strength to carry that jug full of water to the trailer. These stone jars, not plastic, each held 20 to 30 gallons of water. This miracle required some heavy lifting on the part of the servants. The wedding party for the workers was real heavy work, like it is for all of us who serve. We talk about Jesus as the servant Savior. We talk about ministry as a service to God's people. We even call ourselves servant ministers. So here it is, Jesus' first miracle. Now, the text starts with, it was the third day. Third day? Third day after what? Well, what it means is that this is the third day of Jesus' official ministry. Jesus was baptized, then Jesus starts calling disciples, and he promises the disciples that they will see great things. And then here we are at the first great thing. A problem at a party? Come on, let's drop the pretenses a little bit. Okay, think about this. If you're looking for divine evidence that God's miraculous presence is near, do you go to a wedding reception? The local pub? I mean it. Where would Sherlock Holmes, Nancy Drew, Columbo, and the Blue Bloods look to find the Messiah? And I'm telling you, when I went to the commentary again, this is a familiar story, they just get all kind of holier than thou about this whole thing. Honestly, think about this. You go to a wedding and they run out of wine. And that's going to be Jesus' first miracle. Not only that, but Jesus' mother, son, there's a problem. Here's how the text reads, in case you think I'm just being irreverent. Quote, when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, although the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is not a really super reverent context, is it? The gospel writer of John wants to prove to people that Jesus is the Messiah. He writes this gospel with the miracles laid out as evidence. He makes the case for the glory of Jesus as the Christ of God. And the evidence begins by keeping the party going. By taking the water you wash with and turning it into a fine vintage. Here is Jesus, average Joe, Jesus at a wedding party. And he has the typical interjecting mother, right? Did anybody else have a mother like this? Oh my goodness, I sure did. There's a problem, Louise, fix it, will ya? And the language that Jesus uses to reply has always been troubling, hasn't it? That he calls his mother, woman, what's this got to do with me? But really, in a sense, it's like he's trying to create this distance because the gospel writer wants to make certain that you don't think Jesus is Mary's puppet, okay? So even though she's the one that kind of did the tap on the shoulder, or as Liz did the, you know, it's really Jesus' miracle. It's not Mary's, it's Jesus. You know, Elaine and I got married in the eyes of God and this congregation in 2012. And we asked my dad and Elaine's son to stand as our witnesses. Now, let me just say that my dad saying yes was no small miracle in my eyes. He didn't volunteer. I asked him. We asked him. So for those of you who didn't know my dad, just think about NRA member, conservative Lutheran, women aren't preachers, they don't vote in his church. His daughter is a preacher. 2012, she wasn't allowed to get married. What is the metaphorical lesson to draw from this story? I think one of them is we need to be asked. I think it's actually important that Mary went to Jesus and said, hey, you know, got a situation here. And I think we are our best selves sometimes when we're asked. We don't always step ourselves up. Now, we have signups back there, but some of you know that sometimes if somebody talks to you about this opportunity or this team or this tutoring, or you know, you might be willing to go there. And in fact, in this congregation, the elected leadership, the nominating process for the elected leadership is both volunteering yourself and, you know, I would really feel good about this person being a leader in our church. You can suggest someone else. I think there's another metaphorical lesson in this scripture lesson of Jesus at the wedding party, and that's that Jesus was at the party. And he helped keep the party going, right? Life is hard. Jesus was always getting into trouble because he was going to dinners and parties. I think he's saying, let the joy of love keep dancing and celebrating. Keep it going. And you know, in those days, you didn't drink the water, right? You wash in the water, but you don't drink the water. And the infrastructure of aqueducts in Jesus' day, they were kind of far away, weren't they? Over in Rome. Jesus turns the water into wine so that people can safely drink. Am I stretching it a little bit? Maybe, maybe not. What would Jesus say to the metropolitan region of Detroit, a place for which a water affordability plan was drawn up years ago? Do you know who uses the water affordability plan of Detroit? Anybody know what city uses it? I'm going to give you a hint. It's not Detroit. It's Philadelphia. Philadelphia uses our affordability plan for water, not us. We don't know exactly how many people are at risk for water shutoffs coming up. Do you know why? Because the data we have is more than a year old. We need a miracle. We need a water miracle. And we need a miracle of leadership. We need elected leaders and their staffs to turn on the mechanisms of a civilized society. I mean, what makes a civilized community is utilities, right? Available for all. Did you turn on a light today? Did your furnace come on? Education, healthcare, emergency services. Last week we heard, you know, that Leona's, one of her smoke alarms went off. She called the fire department. She's home alone. And they came. This is what a civilized society is, where it's safe. Jesus partied and celebrated life with great joy, even with a glass of fine wine. And Jesus condemned the rich for abusing the poor. We don't like that part. Here is our challenge. We are called to follow a Jesus who went to the party and who picked on the religious elites. Jesus played with children and lifted up the so-called losers among us as the blessed and honored and beloved of God. Do you ever try so hard to be the good person who works for God that you forget to see the signs of God at the party with friends and family? Maybe we need a party. Do we need a miraculous resolution to our water crisis in Michigan? Yes, we do. And we also need to notice the miracle of God that's already here and happening. We need to be aware of the miracle, the flavors of the food that waits for us. We need to notice the miracle of God in the eyes of those around us. We need to be aware of God's miracle presence in the request that our neighbors and the poor are asking of us. Jesus was not afraid of the mundane of life. He went to the parties, and he knew that someone had to count the money so that ministry could live. So while the membership of this church passes the funding for ministry plan of this church for 2019, Jesus will be watching the heavy lift of our servanthood. Those stone jars of water holding 20 to 30 gallons are here. They are heavy. But they hold for us the waters of baptism, the cups for communion, the hospitality for members and strangers, the advocacy for justice in our time. This is our church mission and ministry. The miracle of water for life, wine for the love of life. The miracles of God are still at work, even among us today. So, what request is being made of you that seems absurd? Could God nudge us toward a miracle? Water clean enough for and available for everyone? That would be a great party. What is God asking of you? Even if reluctantly, may we answer and go.